8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. After a few months observing the market, the Plano City Council yesterday passed an ordinance regulating bike share companies. An unanimous vote by the council allows the city to enact rules dictating where companies can place their bikes, how many bikes can be staged in a location, and how quickly companies must retrieve them. The council acknowledged that rental bike companies have been quick to respond to complaints of bikes blocking certain areas, but residents don't always know who to call. Here's City Manager Bruce Glasscock.
If they call the bike company directly, they will more than likely get a quicker response than calling us.
Yes.
And that's the demand that is on staff now, or the emails and the calls that are coming in. There's a bike in the middle of the field.
Peter Braster is the city's director of special projects.
One of the things in the ordinance is actually to have an email address and a phone number on each bike. And so that should make that self-reporting a little bit easier.
The Dallas City Council yesterday was also briefed on possible ways to regulate stationless bike share companies. In the last year, several bike share companies have dispatched thousands of bikes in cities like Dallas, Irving, Denton, and Plano. The stationless bikes can be locked and unlocked with a smartphone app and don't require a docking station. They were initially praised as an alternative mode of transportation, but residents have since complained there are too many bikes blocking rights of way. The Dallas Mavericks have hired former AT&T executive Cynthia Marshall as interim CEO. This comes a week after a Sports Illustrated report alleged former team CEO Terdima Usery sexually harassed female employees. Usery was investigated by the Mavericks over similar allegations in 1998, 2 years before Mark Cuban bought the team. Cuban says he had no prior knowledge of the allegations. He's also hired two former prosecutors to investigate the complaints and the franchise's workplace practices. By the late 19th century, there were dozens of black colleges in the United States. This network of institutions has played a key role in black political activism and on redefining what it meant to be black in America. Filmmaker Stanley Nelson has received a MacArthur Genius Grant and the National Medal of the Humanities. His new documentary is called Tell Them We Are Rising, the story of black colleges and universities. Nelson talked with KERA's Chris Boyd.
Historically, black colleges and universities are called an unapologetic black space in this film. Are those spaces hard to come by in America?
Yeah, I think if you add the word intellectual, then it's really black colleges and universities that are only unapologetically black intellectual space in this country. They've been very, very important to African-Americans, and they still are.
It's really interesting to think about the remarkable experience of students who maybe didn't grow up surrounded by black culture, who were in the minority in their high school or their neighborhood or even their city.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of the film. The last piece of the film is today, and we profile two women. You know, one of them said she never had a black teacher in her life. And so, you know, the first time she had a black teacher was when she went to college, when she went to an HBCU.
So the first goal that many people had upon gaining freedom from slavery was to be educated. Great Americans like Booker T. Washington, who was born into slavery, dreamed of being allowed to learn. As a boy, he imagined being allowed into a schoolhouse would feel like getting into heaven. That's really amazing.
It's a great story. I think, you know, one of the stories that people don't know is that not only was it illegal all throughout the South for African-Americans to learn to read and write, but it was actually illegal for their white masters, so-called masters, to teach them how to read and write. As someone says in the film, this is my slave. I can do anything I want to this slave. I can kill them. I can rape them. I can maim them. But one of the laws that was on the books was that I cannot teach them to read and write. So I think that goes to show how important reading and writing was and how much it was feared. As someone says again in the film, that, you know, an educated population could not be an enslaved population.
So is that why white Americans were so frightened by the idea of black Americans attaining education?
I mean, one of the things that came to me, you know, when I was making the film was, I mean, if you can imagine being enslaved in the South, that's the only world you know. So, you know, you have to think that, you know, slavery went on for hundreds of years. This went on for a couple of hundred years, over a couple of hundred years. So the only world you know is the world, you know, of your plantation and maybe the next plantation. So you don't know that there's an Africa. You don't know that there's a Europe. You don't know that there's a China. You don't know that anything else exists except this world of enslavement that you live in. It's a pretty kind of all-encompassing world. And you can understand why education was something to be feared.
And restrictions on black education, this surprised me. They were not limited to the American South. There were lots of places in the North that didn't allow black people to be educated.
Yeah, we tell a great story in the film about, you know, before the Civil War, a group of people got together and wanted to start a college for black men in New Haven, Connecticut. And the town rose up and stopped it. The mayor writes an incredible letter where he says, this will just ruin the town if we have throngs of black people coming here to be educated. No, we can't do this.
What role did the AME, the African Methodist Church, play in the founding of black colleges?
One of the things that happened right after the Civil War was that different groups went into the South to provide education. One group that was very big was the American Missionary Association, a group of largely white folks from the North, and started educating. But then the African Methodist Episcopal Church, largely, and other black churches says, well, you know, wait a minute, we want to also be part of this. And so many of the first schools that were started were religious-based and were started by the African Methodist Episcopal Church and others.
And, of course, the idea was that, in part, that these schools would train the teachers who would help children start learning.
Right, because, you know, again, you know, you have this uneducated population and there's no teachers, you know, there's nobody to teach them. So the first thing that was done was, okay, let's start teaching people to be teachers. And then that kind of went on to become the colleges that we know today.
Stanley Nelson's new independent lens documentary, Tell Them We Are Rising, the story of black colleges and universities, aired this month on KERA-TV, and it will air again March 13th. You can watch it now at video.kera.org. For the day, there's a 90% chance of storm. Should be a high in the upper 60s by this afternoon. This evening, cloudy skies. Looks to be a 30% chance of showers tonight with a low around 64. Tomorrow, more storms, high near 71. And tomorrow night, much of the same. Cloudy skies, a 50% chance of rain with a low around 48. It's currently 54 degrees in Dallas, 56 in Fort Worth. At 8:30, this is KERA News.